Psalm 16. We're looking tonight at delighting in God's people. In Psalm 16, in verse 3, "But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight." Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the morning service. Trust, Lord, hearts were stirred and blessed this morning. And as we gather once again with your word open, just ask you to speak to us. I ask you to give me tonight the words that you would have me to say, and that you give all of us what we need tonight from your word. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this psalm tonight, we're primarily launching from one verse, in verse 3. And David is revealing his delight for the people of God. The word delight means a high degree of pleasure. And I ask you tonight, do you enjoy God's people, or do they bother you? Do you fit in amongst God's people, or do you stand out amongst God's people? David was a man after God's own heart. Now I ask you tonight, would you say that God loves his children? We would all say that, absolutely. Then to be after God's own heart would be to also love what he loves. David loved the people of God. David specifically mentions, and I love this concept here, but David specifically mentions those saints that are in the earth. I can appreciate David's heart here, as many of you could say also that some of your best Christian memories are shared with those whose bodies are now in the earth. David is essentially saying you can still delight in those saints that are in the earth. And I ask you tonight, do you reflect with delight upon the memory of those dear saints that are in the earth? So again, I like this concept here, those loved ones who are in Christ, those faithful servants of God, those that faithfully taught, faithfully preached, faithfully traveled, faithfully led, those whose bodies are in the earth, we can delight in them. We can delight that they lived. We can delight in the fact that they loved God, that they served God, that they gave of themselves for the Lord's cause, that they fought the good fight, that they ran their race well, they finished their course. David could still delight in them. The word saint is an Old Testament word for the New Testament word Christian or believer. We also see this word in verse 3, or this phrase, "into the excellent." So we see the word excellent there. It would mean in context being of great virtue or worth, eminent or distinguished, valuable or laudable, as an excellent man or citizen. So Christians should be of virtue. They should be of great worth to those around them. Now this is whether or not the world recognizes your worth or not, or appreciates your value. A Christian should be this way. You know, you and I should know our worth whether those around us do or not. And by the way, someone will always know and recognize your worth even if a lot of others don't. It's not often, but it happens. You hear headlines of it at times, see headlines or hear a news story about it, where something extremely rare, extremely valuable is sold at a garage sale. And 1,000 people walk past this ugly thing that nobody would want. But one person comes along that knows its value and recognizes it. Sometimes the most valuable things in life don't look very valuable at all. And sometimes the most valuable people don't look much to the world, but in God's eyes, they're worth the life of his son. So a lot of times the world won't see you or recognize for your true worth. It's sad, but Hebrews says this, if you wanted to turn there in Hebrews 11 and verse 33 down through the end of the chapter. Hebrews 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Emphasis on verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. So why was the world unworthy? Why was the world unworthy of their sacrifice? Because they failed to recognize the true value of those that God sent their way. We just read what all they went through. Wasn't an easy life. But it was their faith and their love for God and their love for mankind that drove them to such extents. And the world didn't recognize it. You can read of the destruction of Israel in Lamentations. In Matthew, Jesus wept over the destruction of Israel. You know, the world has never quite understood and appreciated the people of God. I remember on Tuesday night when we left from Brother Barber's memorial service there at Worth Baptist. We went to Brahms, the ice cream there, and somewhere around there, I don't know, we used the GPS to get there. But I was there, and as I was looking around, and I was looking around at all the folks in there eating ice cream and stuff, I just got to thinking, a man of God in this city has gone home to be with the Lord, and they're here with no concern whatsoever. No concern. No concern at all. But you know, that happens all the time. There are Bible preaching pastors and Bible preaching churches all over this country situated in a community, and the vast majority of the community could care less about the pastor and the church. But we see that today. In Matthew, Jesus wept over the destruction of Israel. In Matthew 23 and verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. So the Lord sent them prophets, but they stoned them. They didn't recognize God's love for them in sending them prophets. The same could be said of the world today, that God sent his only begotten. He has been rejected. The only begotten has called, and pastors and missionaries and evangelists, and he's called these men wives to serve with them. They are in the fight too. The children are in the fight too. God has called and sent musicians and ministers of music and teachers and the like, and the world doesn't value them. Why is that? They don't see their value because they live in darkness. And David's making a point here, which we're leading up to the main gist of the message tonight. Christians should have the opposite response when it comes to fellow believers. But you know what we do at times? We kill our own. We attack our own. We belittle our own. We persecute our own. we cancel our own. It's sad, but at times in our churches, we have cliques. We have who's who. You're not this family, so it don't matter. Or you're not in the pastor's family, so you on the outside looking in every service. Cliques. Believers don't always value other believers. But believers should delight in other believers. And quit dividing over silly preferences. Or someone isn't cool enough. Now, I tell you, I think everybody here is cool if you ask me. But if you ask the world, we're not a cool bunch from here to the back. We're not. But I'm good with that. I hope you're good with it. Because I'm not. I'm not trying to be cool. I hope you're not trying to be cool. But there are places, if someone isn't cool enough for them, if they're cool and you're not, then you get to sit on the outside of the bubble. And tragically, at times, it's this way in ministry. I could give you a whole host of places that may not have me in to preach for one reason or another. Some circles, I wouldn't be polished enough. Some maybe not well known enough. Some maybe not cool enough. And even though believers should delight in other believers, at times this is the way it is because the world is in our churches. And you know what? We can get mad and bitter about it over a lack of acceptance in certain circles. Or you can get busy for God where you are accepted. It was a tough pill to swallow coming into the ministry because I thought believers everywhere accepted believers everywhere. I thought as a young man, when you say I'm called to preach, I thought everybody would just be surrounding you. Let me help you. Let me get behind you. Let me support you. I guess sometimes when you're young and the naivety of everything, you just see things the way they should be sometimes rather than the way they are. And sometimes it can be a shocker and a letdown when you come to realize what things are. But that's when you gotta be reminded of who called you to begin with, who you served to begin with, who set you apart, who has sanctified you to begin with. I learned quickly that many times there's an extra biblical unwritten list of expectations in order for you to be accepted in certain circles. But I invite you to listen tonight that we can do very little about all those other places. But we can make sure that we are the exception. Here at Emmanuel Baptist, we need to delight in other believers. It doesn't mean that we'll always agree. But you can delight in the fact that they're saved. And you are too. So believers should find acceptance amongst other believers. You know, we should be accepting of people, not their sin. We don't accept sin from here to the back. We cannot. That must be our stance. That must be our position, that we preach against sin. But we accept people. Not everybody who comes through these doors are going to be people who are accustomed to church, who know what church is. Not all of them have come from the upbringings that we've had. There's going to be children who will at some point be coming in from off the streets. They have no raising. You would think they do, but they don't. many of them, even if they're 10 years old, have never stepped foot in church. They don't know how to act in church. Christians should love and also have a desire for the fellowship of other believers. You know, you should be more excited when you see a brother or sister in Christ than you do anyone else. You know, that there are times, and I've used this illustration before, where out in public, you're just trying to get from here to there, and you just want to make sure you get out quick. If you see somebody, you might not be able to get out quick. So sometimes you're just trying to get out quick. But you know what? There's also times where in the middle of all the world, I'm happy to see a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm happy to see somebody that I know from church amongst all the mess. We should get more excited when we see a brother or sister in Christ than we do anyone else. You should get more pleasure, more excitement out of them than anyone else. It should be that way. We should be more excited to be in God's house than anywhere else. We should walk into God's house with more joy than we walk into anywhere else. We should be more apt to stay later, stay longer in God's house around God's people than anywhere else. And one of the distinguishing characteristics of a child of God is their willingness to be around God's people more than the people of this world. I told y'all, when I was away from the Lord, I avoided the Bible, I avoided church, I avoided Christians. And they didn't even have to say nothing to me. I hope this helps y'all today with some of the people that you know avoid you. And you're trying to figure out what you did. You didn't do nothing, chances are. They just know who they are. And they know who you are. That's it. That's all this guy. That's it. When I was away from the Lord, I didn't want the conviction of having believers around me. I didn't want the conviction of being at church. I didn't want the conviction of the preacher. I didn't want the conviction of the word. But one of the distinguishing characteristics of not only a child of God, but one who is walking with God, is their willingness to be around God's people. People misapply the phrase, and Jesus being a friend of sinners, to justify worldly friends. Jesus being a friend of sinners means he died for them. That means he was a soul winner. Jesus didn't get all up in the world to be near them, with them, or to become like them, while ignoring the fact that he came into this world to singularly die for them and to live as our example. And it's his example that we follow. So we die to self, we crucify the flesh, and we follow his example, and we win the loss for Christ. It's borderline blasphemous, if not blasphemous, to suggest that deity went and hung out with, sat with, ate with, and drank with sinners while not on a mission to draw them to himself. Now, this is important this evening because light will enjoy being around light. And we'll feed off of one another. One light bulb is bright. Two is brighter. Three all the more. And so it goes. And the opposite is true where light is not. Darkness wants to be around darkness. And one light bulb changes things. You ever walk into a room and you know you're the only light in there? It feels smothering, don't it? You feel out of place. That's because you just walked in the darkness. And darkness hates the light because the light exposes the darkness. When someone's trying to go to sleep, and their eyes have adjusted to the darkness, when the light comes on, one rejects the light. They'll cover their eyes with their hand or maybe their pillow. They'll close their eyes. They'll squint them real hard. Because they don't want light. This morning, Sarah was trying to help me with the light, with some light, so I didn't trip up this morning with my knee. 6 o'clock when the alarm went off. I don't know what she did with the lamp, but she hit the wrong one. It went to the brightest one at 6 o'clock. The brightest one. It's like, oh my goodness. I didn't say nothing, but she had it corrected just like that. She had it fixed. I was thankful for that, but it was real dim after that. You know, the brighter the light up against the darkest of rooms, oh my goodness, the contrast. It's going to be a contrast. Many today out in the world are rejecting light. John 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's amazing to me that men would love darkness rather than light. The Bible answers the question, if one were to ask, why would men love darkness rather than light? And the answer is at the end of John 3 and verse 19, because their deeds were evil. Just looked at the idea, someone who's trying to sleep, and because they're trying to sleep, they want to remain in darkness. So they reject the light. It's the same idea. Someone who wants to do evil will reject the light. Those who desire light will seek out light. They'll find it. They'll embrace the light and become brighter as a result. A lot of believers aren't as bright as they could be and should be because they don't spend enough time around light, being saturated with light. You know, one of the things that I enjoy about camp and one of the things I enjoyed about Southland is that there wasn't no TV. I didn't have my desktop. I didn't have my laptop. I didn't have my iPad. I had my cell phone, but the service was awful there. And so I was connected to Wi-Fi, and that enabled me to make calls if I had to, or respond to text or emails if I had to while I was away. But by and large, all of that stuff was kind of blocked out. And sometimes you don't realize how much weight things are adding to you until you've removed them. And then I was telling I come back from camp, and not that I'm against TV, but when you go a week without them and you come back and you feel a whole lot lighter, you're tempted to throw the thing out in the yard. You're tempted to get rid of all your devices. It's amazing sometimes how much time and energy and effort that we give stuff. Sometimes we might not necessarily take in darkness, but we take in so much neutral stuff. Just neutral stuff. It's not necessarily light. It's not necessarily darkness. It's neutral. How do people become to live neutral lives? All they do is take in neutrality. So again, a lot of believers aren't as bright as they could be and should be because they don't spend enough time around light, being saturated with light, allowing light to penetrate them, causing them to be brighter as a result. A lot of believers have a dull light because they spend too much time letting in darkness. I invite you today, and don't take my word for it, you go before the Lord and ask Him, ask the Lord to show you the avenues that darkness gets into your life. And close those avenues. Now that's something the Lord has to reveal to you. There are things that the Lord revealed to me in my life I got rid of them. And David talks about his delight here in Psalm 16. And I tell y'all tonight, darkness loves darkness and light loves light. For darkness to stay dark, it must reject the light, and that takes power. It's on the powers of darkness. So as a child of God, children of the light, we must love, we must embrace, and spend time with other children of the light. And I invite you also, never underestimate your presence in God's house, being an encouragement to other believers. I didn't fully recognize this until there was one particular gentleman, especially in the RU ministry. Sometimes he would get there about half an hour before RU would start. RU would start at 7 on Fridays. And he would get there at about 6:30. And if there was only one vehicle in the parking lot at the time, he'd leave. Sometimes he'd get there at about 6:45. And it was even worse if he got there at 6:45. Or 10 minutes till 7. He pulled into the parking lot and he says, "Where's everybody at?" And one of the days I called him right before he was getting ready to leave. I said, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" "Oh, if it ain't important enough for them, why should I care?" Now, we could say he's looking for an excuse, maybe. Possibly that's some of it. But there was also a man who was seeking. And he just couldn't quite comprehend why there wouldn't be more people interested. We must delight in godly companions. You need godly friends. Delight means a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of mind, joy. So the same word used in Psalm 1:2, or it is the same word used, his delight is in the law of the Lord. So this is important. David does not put the people of God on the same level as the Word of God in terms of importance, but he does use the same word to describe the joy and the pleasure that he received from both of them. And I do believe that if you're going to live this Christian life, you need the Word of God in one hand, and you need the people of God in the other. And if you're a true believer, you should get joy out of both. If you're where you need to be with God, you should get joy out of both. There was a time in my life, again, when I was away from God, I didn't joy in the Word. I didn't joy in the people of God either. And then I'd got to the place where I also had to surrender to a degree my independence. I was so independent, I didn't give good people, godly people, a chance to rub off on me. And I was the reason why. I wouldn't allow anyone close enough. I wouldn't get close enough. I wouldn't let anybody in. Sometimes with those who have experienced trauma or have just been hurt badly or deeply by others, they'll build walls around them to protect themselves from people, and then they settle in within their compound. They take a sigh of relief and say, "I'm safe now from others." But what tends to happen is they end up hurting themselves more by living a closed-off life. And I've been there, and the Lord had to help me out of it. I enjoy believers. Are they quirky at times? Yes. Are they offensive at times? Yes. Well, they upset me at times. And by the way, this is a two-way street. I can be quirky. I try not to be offensive, but don't be shocked if at some point it were to happen, because I am human. I will be upset by others, and there will be folks upset by me. Or they'll misspeak, or I'll misspeak, or they'll speak out of turn, or I'll speak out of turn, because we are human. But overall, I can tell you today, that I enjoy believers. I enjoy believers, fellow believers, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ more than I do anybody else on this planet. And I've spent a lot of time out in the world with what the world has to offer in terms of friends and acquaintances and associations and fellow employees. But I enjoy believers. I get delight around God's people. I worry about professing believers. They get no joy from the word or get no joy from being around believers. And David could testify in Psalm 16 in verse 3, but to the saints that are in the earth, maybe we should have spent more time on that first part of the phrase, but to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity.